and how it comes to faith. And today we're going to talk about how faith and the law intersect the book of Galatians. Because if there's something that the Apostle Paul absolutely goes berserk on, was this concept of how the law relates to one's salvation, okay? Or one's, let's say, member of the covenant community. So that's all of like an N.T. Wright sort of phrase, member of the covenant community, okay? So for me, you know, it's just sort of like synonymous, okay? And so let's see if I can, hey, Garbo, you did so well in bringing up the Bible
passage. Oh, you mean do that again?
Can you do that again?
Sure.
Okay, so there's going to be three.
Hang on.
The first, they're all in the book of Galatians.
Let's see, sorry, I have to get it ready. Here, hold on. You want Galatians?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, hang on.
Chapter 1, verse 9 is the first one. And then we'll go to chapter 2 and then chapter 3. The book of Galatians focuses on like clarification of the relation of law obedience with being in the covenant community, or AKA salvation. And the latter half is about how being led by the Spirit rather than led by the law and the works of the flesh looks like in the life of a believer. Now, more of us are familiar with the latter half of Galatians, because that's like the juicy part, you know, that you can really apply. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, you know, that type of stuff. You know, Galatians really is the how he develops into the latter chapters about fruit of the Spirit, because he wants to make a separation between the law and what we are under. So, you know, he wants to, let's say in Ray Stedman term, break away from the old covenant and get into the new covenant, okay? So we can use different phrases and concepts, okay? But okay, Garbo, you got the passage up there.
Which passage is it?
Galatians? Verse 9 first.
Chapter 1?
Yeah, verse 8. You could start with verse 8.
Okay, now, right there. No other gospel.
Now, this is sort of very interesting, because it's very out of character for Paul. I have this observation that I'd say, you know, 80% of the time the Bible is very, very gracious in behavior. And then there are these times where the Bible really kind of throws a loop at you, because the leader or the writer or Jesus, you see, we like an all-loving person, and then it catches, the sternness catches us off guard. So let's read verse 8 and 9. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort. Where is it? Distort the gospel. Oh, wait a minute. Where is it?
Sorry, made it too big.
Oh, I'm in verse 8, set 6, not 8. Okay. Verse 8 now. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Okay, now that accursed word is the anathema term. Oh, wow, that's like, you know, it's on a, may they burn in hell type of kind of concept. It's a very stern, it's the sternest warning Paul gives, that they are not part of Christ, okay? He builds it by saying, look, if anyone's preaching another gospel, and the gospel is the good news of Jesus, and you're getting now that part of the gospel understanding is not just Jesus, in Galatians, it's how you get to Jesus. It's a very interesting thing. And so some want to downplay this verse because they don't want to say, you know, oh, getting to Jesus comes in all different ways, you know. So let's not be so obsessed with how to get to Jesus. And so they'll try to argue, oh, that was just for that time, you know. But it's very, very important. Paul is very stern on this. Okay. So let's go to chapter 2, verse 16 to 21. Okay. Let's see. Okay, I'll start verse 15. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Now, this is very, very important, okay? Especially the verses 17 to 21, okay? Paul says he dies to the law. Now, I'll tell you, this is really difficult because there are certain things that you may not like about the law of Moses. There are certain things that Jesus pretty much said is done, you know, through the cross, you know, forgiveness is now through the cross. And then there are things we like about the law. Thou shalt not murder, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not have false gods before me, graven images, you know. We like that type of stuff of the law. And so what Paul says, I died to the law. So what's that? Okay. And then he talks about how in verse 21, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Now, there lies, what is the purpose of the law? Does it then, is it a measure of some sort of righteousness? And Paul seemingly is rejecting that. The law and law obedience is not a measure of righteousness. As a matter of fact, Paul puts all the eggs in his in the basket by saying, I'm crucified with Christ. I live for Christ. I don't follow righteousness in Christ. I find it in the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, I hope you see that, okay? And Paul makes such a strong case that says, if you don't hold to this, burn in hell. Okay, wow, that's some line in the sand. Okay, now, the passage, and then we'll open it up for this for some questions, is Galatians chapter 3. And verse 23. Now, there's a passage that I wanted to bring up that's not here. So I should ask Garbo to bring that up. Now, but let's read 23. Now, before faith came, now that's a kind of interesting thing because there's actually faith in the Old Testament, okay? Like Abraham, you know, had faith, was counted for him righteousness. But I think what Paul's saying, before this concept of faith became like crystal clear, because it was actually in the law, okay? But now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, in prison until the coming faith would be revealed. So Paul is saying, look, if you just have the Old Testament, you're never going to come to the conclusion of Jesus. It had to be revealed. So then the law was our guardian, pedagogy, until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. And now that faith has come. We are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus, we are all sons of God through faith, for as many as you as were baptized in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs to the promise. Now, the passage that I also wanted to bring up is in the book of Galatians, and I think it's in chapter 2. It was Paul confronting Peter, and that's like a really difficult situation because they're both apostles. This is, you're talking about the highest level of leadership. And let's see if I could find it here.
It's like verse 7 or so.
Is that of chapter 3?
Two. Chapter 2.
Okay. Can Garbo, can you go to the passage that Ben referred to? Verse 7. Yeah. There it is. So let's look at verse 6. And from those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me, but God shows no partiality. Those I say who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted to the gospel for the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted to the gospel to the circumcised. Now, this is very interesting. So when you read Peter, like we're doing the sermons on 1st, 2nd Peter, there's going to be some Jewish overtone. And when you understand that, the Old Testament passages will have great that he's writing to more of a Jewish mind, like in the sermon I gave about Psalm 34 and David. Oh, David, they all know who David is. I mean, because he's writing to a Jewish group, you know. I mean, Gentile group, who in the world is David, you know? But for a Jewish group, they, oh yeah, they all know, and they all know what David stood for. Okay, so just as Peter, so verse 8. For he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised also worked through me for mine to the Gentile. And when, okay, I'm going to just stop there before I get to verse 9, because there's another thing I want to share. Sometimes when you read the Bible and you say, oh, I'm reading Paul, so he's the apostle to the Gentiles. You read Peter, he's the apostle to the Jews, right? James writes to Jews, they said it's crazy. It seems contradictory. The issue is they're writing to a different audience the same truth, but from a slightly different perspective. And that's so important, because if you'd say they should all be the same, it's like, no, you're not. It's the same truth, but they're writing to a different audience. So it's going to come out a little different, because the problems of audience A is different from the problems of audience B. So like maybe one group, I'll just stop right at there, because you know I'm gonna open a can of worms again to other books, okay? But you see now, by understanding Peter and Paul, where they're coming from, how they're gonna perceive things and how they're gonna teach, but I believe they're unified. Okay, so let's look verse 9. And when James and Cephas and John, so Cephas being Peter, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. So if James here is the same writer of the book of James, and we don't really know for sure, because if, but if it is, then you understand that James is also writing to a Jewish group, because he's this is the group people that he's entrusted to, okay? So verse 10, only they asked me to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Now that's a really important aspect. Our faith should not be like, oh, we only minister to middle class and upper middle class people, you know? I mean, that's like the worst thing, you know? But church is attaining to be like that now, you know? So let's go to verse 11. But when Cephas came to Antioch, that's the nickname of Peter, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, so James being a Gentile, a minister to the Jews, okay? So certain men came from James. He was eating with Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. Now, this is actually kind of hard to figure out. Because what is this? Is this the James, you know, circumcision party? It was James part of the circumcision party? Or is it saying that there's a circumcision party? So, you know, we got to sort of like, these are like the Jewish ministry heavy hitters, you know. So let's make sure we give them the greater honor, you know. It's kind of hard. Verse 13, and the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Paul just says this is hypocrisy. When the Jewish heavy hitters come, you sort of give them preferential treatment. You know, you don't want to be seen with Gentiles. And, you know, Paul says, look, you stand condemned. Now, I don't think Peter is being condemned like Paul is saying in Galatians 1:9, be you let you burn in hell. You know, I don't think he's talking that way. But it's a hypocrisy. It's a very strong rebuke. So these sort of verses in Galatians really gives you in a summary nutshell form what Paul was trying to get at in the whole book, you know? And then the latter half is the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to have to understand how the two join, and then you understand the whole book, you see? So Garbo, can you unshare the Bible passages? And so we could see everybody. Okay, so here lies it. I'm trying to make a case that the Apostle Paul understood that you obeying the law cannot bring righteousness, and that it is in Christ. Okay. And if you say that your righteousness comes from law obedience, Paul goes berserk and says, go to hell. Cannot be. This was one of the non-negotiable in my mind that Paul said. Okay. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, Paul would later on say, well, you know, they're people of weaker conscience, you know, they can't eat pork, they don't eat pork, they still want to celebrate the feast days, let them do that, they have a little new moons and things like that. Okay, he's not talking about practice. He's talking about people who say, no, you have to do this in order to be an official member of the covenant community, aka salvation. Okay. So let's give you an example. So like in the old, and you couldn't eat pork. Okay. You couldn't eat catfish. Okay. Because you needed scales. So let's say you're having a dinner party and with a, for Christians. And so some people, like, I'm Chinese, no problem eating shrimp, you know? I mean, that's sort of like the, one of the food groups, you know? And pork, we love pork. We probably love pork more than beef, okay? We love pork, we love shrimp, okay? You have another person who said, who's from a Jewish background and says, you know what? I was raised that we couldn't eat this. Sorry, you know, I get queasy every time I eat it because we were raised not eating this. Okay, don't have to eat it. Then you have person C who says, Jeff, why are you eating this stuff? We all know as believers, we have to obey the law. And so by eating shrimp and eating pork, I have my doubts that you're even saved, man. You see that? You see the three different ones? One can eat. The other says, oh, man, I just like, I don't know if I can eat this, you know, as a raised. And then the third one says, you know what? You better put that down, Jeff, because, you know, you go, you know, that's we have to obey the law. And so you have to understand these three type of categories. And I believe, as well as most people believe, that Paul was writing to the third category. The people said, you have to do this, this, and this in order to be part of the covenant community or to be saved. He's not talking about those with the queasy, you know, just not raised. He's talking about that third category. Okay, Gene, I see your hand up.
There's a lot about this whole first part of Galatians. Unmute me. A lot about the first part of Galatians that gives me trouble. And Paul's attitude, he is so harsh and so rigid and so condemning that it leads to a certain attitude among Christians when they have conversations that they can't have brotherly conversations. They immediately take sides and condemn the other person who thinks somewhat differently from what he thinks. So I have just a lot of trouble when Paul goes off on one of these tangents. Oh, I have it correct and everyone else has it wrong and they are condemned to hell and blah, blah, blah. That to me is just terrible. I think that there is another way to make the point that we are saved by grace and not by works of the law. And he does that in another place. That message is great. The point that you're making is that in this book, he is talking to the third category, but that doesn't come through just reading the text. I mean, that's an interpretation that you made, and it changes the whole tenor of the text, and it changes the whole vehemence with which Paul makes this point. So if I can see it, don't worry about it. Paul's off on another one of his tangents here. And he's just talking to a particular group of people and he doesn't mean it to you that way. That helps a lot, except that how do you get to that point? Oh,
great question, Gene. Part of this, and you have to read because you're talking about Jerusalem in Galatians 2, in the book of Galatians, and we had talked in this class about the Jerusalem Council. And so why I spent all this time on the Jerusalem Council, you know, it's a little like it happened so long ago. It's because that was when the question was put on, you know, does the Gentiles need to be circumcised? Okay, So this was not just a one and done deal. You're talking about even, and it depends like when you believe the book of Galatians is written, before the Jerusalem Council, after the Jerusalem Council, okay? And if it's written after the Jerusalem Council, you're talking about a situation that had already been sort of agreed upon. And more people are still, it's like the vote has been casted and, you know, candidate eight wins. And, you know, it's like, no, we dealt with this already. And we all agreed. So when you read Galatians and you see Jerusalem and you have to think Jerusalem Council and the whole sort of turmoil that was at that time and what the decision was. And the decision was no circumcision needed. And we went into like, oh, so what, you know, what were those laws? Was it Noahic, that class, I remember we talked about that. Now, one thing, and we're gonna have to end because this is the last thing, okay? And we might start next week with questions, is that when we get into the book of the Revelation, and I think we're gonna get to it next week, Jesus, if you'd say that the letters to the seven churches were actually spoken by Jesus, he then goes even one step further in the condemnation because he describes them as synagogue of Satan. Ho, 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 whoa, whoa. Okay, now you see then the progress from the Jerusalem Council. Okay, we're civil, we have an agreement, this is what it is. To Paul's upping it in Galatians, go to hell. Then Jesus in the book of the Revelation, synagogue of Satan. The further rift theologically as Christianity starts in Judaism and then begins to separate. And these were the issues that caused separation. Okay, I'm sorry to end the class, but I gotta go. Okay, I gotta greet. I gotta put on my greeters thing and I gotta bump elbows. But I'll see everyone next week at 9 and we'll continue this conversation. Okay, so remember where we left off. Take care. Bye. Yeah.